our feelings are very fluctuating and ephemeral, aren't they? We can't depend on them for 5 minutes at a time. But dwelling on the faithfulness and the love and the mercy of God is always safe because He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of challenge and commitment. Here's your friend, Elizabeth Elliott.
Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and overburdened, and I will give you rest. Put on my yoke and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliott, talking again today about a question that is often asked. This one is people who doubt their salvation. They're very worried about whether they were really born again or whether they really ever got, quote, saved, unquote. Now, this is a tough one, but let me read you a reply that I wrote to one young woman, hoping that I could help her with this painful question, one that obviously she was in agony over. "Stop doubting your salvation, dear Diane. You know very well that the only hope that you have of heaven is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ." Now, I should say that her letter had made this perfectly clear to me. For those of you who are a little hazy on that, the only hope that any of us has of heaven is faith in Jesus Christ, faith in that blood that cleanses us from all sin. We're not admitted into heaven on the basis of our own merits whatsoever. It's not good people that go to heaven. You remember what Jesus said. He did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And he used the illustration of the doctor. It's not the well people who need the doctor, it's the sick ones. And the Bible makes it very clear that we're all sick, sin sick. So because Diane's letter had made it perfectly clear that she did understand that it was faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that was her hope of salvation, I said, "Stop doubting. You know very well that your only hope is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't worry about whether you have ever done it before. Just ask yourself, do I trust Him today for my salvation? Do I look to any other source whatsoever for the forgiveness of sins? Do I seek to please the Lord?" The answers to those questions will be your indication that you have opened your heart to God. You are undoubtedly looking for some sort of feelings by way of confirmation. And of course, feelings have nothing whatsoever to do with that transaction with God. Some people get thrills and chills. I never did. Do you know the hymn, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness"? And the chorus says, "On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand." If you don't know that hymn, I said to Diane, look it up in a hymn book and memorize it. I love the stanza which says, "His oath, His covenant, His blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, He then is all my hope and stay." Now, I would say to any of you who may be wondering whether or not you're really a Christian, three questions. Do I trust Jesus Christ for my salvation? Or am I trusting in something or someone else? Second question, do I look to any other source whatsoever for the forgiveness of sins? Who can forgive sins but God only? And the third question, do I seek to please the Lord? And you may be able to answer that question a little better if you think of my opening verses on this program. "Come to me, all of you who are weary and overburdened, and I will give you rest." Have you come to Jesus? Have you cast yourself into His loving arms? Then He says, "Put on my yoke and learn from me." What do you think that yoke is? I think that it's the will of God. The yoke that Jesus himself bears, he wants you to take the other half of the yoke. I see the picture of two big, sturdy oxen with their necks humbly bent under that wooden yoke that's placed across the necks of both of them. It's one piece of wood. It keeps them working together. Jesus bent his neck under the yoke of the will of his Father. That's his yoke. So he says, take my yoke and learn from me. Put your neck under the yoke of the will of the Father in company with Jesus Christ and learn. Now, in order to do that, you must be gentle and humble in heart. Do you see any evidence that God is working that gentleness and humility in you? None of us has arrived. We all have our times when we're anything but gentle and very far from humble. But God is pleased because he's our Father when we make the slightest effort in the direction of holiness. Just as the loving father of a little child who's learning to walk is thrilled to death when the child takes that first step. It's not a very steady one. It's a bumbling, stumbling step, and the baby takes a big fall. The father is not disgusted. The father is thrilled, and he laughs. But as George MacDonald says, God is easily pleased but not easily satisfied. So God is pleased when there is the slightest sign of that humility and gentleness. And as you take the yoke of Jesus daily, God is going to work the qualities which are characteristic of Christians in your life. Don't be discouraged because you fall and because time after time you make it very evident to your wife or your children or your husband that you are not yet sanctified. But are you trusting him for your salvation? Suppose you were killed today. Where does your hope lie? I spoke a year or so ago with an old lady that was obviously on her way out, and I couldn't get any hint as to whether or not she was a Christian. And so I said to her, "Do you trust Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins?" And she said, "Yes, I do." I said, "Do you trust anything else for that forgiveness? What qualification do you have to enter heaven? If you picture yourself at the pearly gates, what reason would they have to let you in? That you weren't any worse than the next person? That you know a lot of people that are much worse than you are? Well, it won't wash. It won't do. It won't suffice as a ticket for heaven. All other ground is sinking sand. Pardon the mixed metaphor. So if you thought you were saved when you were 4 or 5 years old, but there hasn't been a whole lot of evidence since then, or you thought you were saved when you went forward in a Billy Graham campaign, but there hasn't been a whole lot of evidence since then, just don't worry whether you've done it before. Just ask yourself, do you trust him today for your salvation? Do you look to any other source whatsoever for the forgiveness of sins? The answer to those questions will be your indication that you have opened your heart to God. Are you seeking to please him? That would certainly be the daily most crucial evidence. Never mind the date of the decision. Never mind the form of the words that you said at the time or the thing that you wrote down in your Bible and signed your name to. The great test is, are you seeking to please the Lord today? If there's something that God is telling you to quit, are you quitting? Have you quit? How long does it take to quit? If there's something that God is telling you to do, are you doing that one thing? That will be your indication. If you think that you have committed the unpardonable sin, I don't think there is any sin unpardonable except the refusal of light. Now, you receive light when you read your Bible, You receive a measure of light in each Christian radio program that you listen to. You receive light when you go to church. Are you refusing it? Are you putting yourself outside the sphere of the grace of God by saying, I don't need that? It's what God shows you today. It's the truth that God is asking you to embrace and to rearrange your life by. You know, following Jesus Christ is definitely going to mean that you're going to have to rearrange your life. You can't go on in the same old selfish way. One of the verses that explains why Jesus died for us is 2 Corinthians 5:15. It says, He died for us, that we, while still in life, should henceforth live no longer for ourselves. How selfish is your life? Is it lived for yourself? To make yourself feel good? To do what you want to do instead of what those that you have to live with would like to do? These are the indications. Take that hymn, His oath, His covenant, His blood, support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, then He is all my hope and stay. There are times, of course, when we want to sink. Hang on then to Jesus Christ. Put your faith in Him and in His blood.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.